While I desire your prayers, I'd like to ask a question. Are you satisfied? Because if you're not satisfied, you're going to be looking for it. You're going to be looking for satisfaction. And I believe that the Lord is capable of totally satisfying us, that we would not want anything else. 23rd Psalm starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," meaning I shall not lack, but I shall not want. That lack, no lack, means that I'm not in always a pursuit of something that I feel like that I need or I have to fill myself with. And I think many people make a mistake by trying to serve the Lord, but never giving to it to the point that they're satisfied. Because if you're not satisfied, you're going to want to be. And you're going to be wanting something you're going to be in the pursuit of something, wandering, longing, desiring for something to take care of that desire that's there to be fulfilled, to have meaning about things, life. I don't think any of us like boredom. I am very cautious when I start getting bored. When I'm starting saying, I need something to happen. I want to go somewhere. I want to see something. I want to experience something. Anybody else ever been in those kind of places till a life kind of gets, you know, humdrum or looking to have something else? I believe that the Lord wants to satisfy His people. I believe that He can satisfy us till we don't want for anything else, that our emotional makeup is satisfied, that our inward out, that we're satisfied with life and the going ons of life, and I don't need to keep reaching and longing. If I'm hungry, I'll always think about eating. Now, it's a strange thing to say I'm going to fast tomorrow. I'll about get hungry when I think of fasting. Play something on my mind. I may get up a lot of mornings and not eat till late in the day unless I say I'm going to fast, and then I'm hungry by the time when I get up, I'm hungry. I think, well, I'd like to have something to drink. I want something to eat. Oh, this is starting to get on me. It's just 10 minutes into the fast. But there's something there that's longing for if I eat, but I don't eat enough to satisfy me, I'm wanting to eat something else. I may go and eat some good, wholesome food for me, eat some carrots and some broccoli and some things like that, and go away saying, boy, I'd like to have a piece of chocolate cake or something. That didn't satisfy. Something's in there. But I'm going to tell you, when I eat till I'm satisfied, when I eat till I'm full, you can offer me whatever you will, and I don't want it. Because I'm satisfied. I'm totally satisfied. I believe that the Lord wants to satisfy our lives. Until when we are faced with the world and its things, that we can easily say, I'm not even hungry. I'm satisfied. God created us in His image. And He made something special about mankind, that if you look into the cultures of history, it's particularly interesting that there's an element in almost every culture that ever existed, is that they worshiped something. There was a need of mankind. I believe, if you want to think of it this way, I think that there is a place in every individual that really can't be fulfilled with anything other than God. I think mankind tries to feel this thing that's in him, this place. He needs it, desperately needs it filled. He longs to have it filled. He tries to fill it with all kind of things. He tries to worship something. He tries to fill this need of... Listen, we all know that men before us die. We all know that death is imminent to every one of us. I don't believe there's a rational person on the planet that would believe that they're not going to die on this earth. We all know that. And we need an answer to that. There's something about the cries for an answer of why we're here. There's something that cries for an answer of what after this life. There's something that cries for meaning. There's something about us that needs to be satisfied while we're here. We want to be happy. We want things around us to be comfortable, peaceful. We long for these things in our life. Mankind chases and pursues all these kind of things. What sense does it make for a person to punch themselves full of holes and put jewelries of all kind in it? I can't help from thinking that there is a need down inside. There's a hollow place inside that they're trying to be fulfill that part of them in there by becoming something. Becoming something that they're not. It's imagery. It's smoke and mirrors. It's a portrayal of somebody. If I can do certain things, I can become that. I can go get me a cowboy hat and a cowboy boots. I can put leather chaps on me. I can walk around like I'm a cowboy, but I'm not a cowboy. I don't even like horses that well. I'm not a cowboy, and all the exterior things won't make me one. People want to get into that and they get an image about themselves, always reaching to try to have an image that will satisfy something about themselves, when really only thing that really needs to be done, there is a hollow place inside of them that needs to be filled. Does it really make sense for an intelligent group of people to look and say, I think I'm going to start using cocaine? Well, I see what it'll do to people. I've seen what it's done to those. Does it make sense for me to say, I'm going to go to the liquor store and I'm going to start drinking? I know what it's done to my uncles. I know what it's done to my friends. I know what it's going to do. But does it make sense for me to do that? Then why would people go down the pursuits of these things? Because there's something empty inside them that can only be filled by the Lord that created them. We're not much of a crowd here today, but do you realize that you're going to want something to fulfill your life? You have moments and times that it's you and only you. There'll be times that you're going to have something real, something alive, something right, that's going to sustain when there's nothing going on. When you're not on the roller coaster ride. When there's not a big event just tomorrow. When there's something that's not exciting my mind when doing that. I need to be satisfied. I'm going to tell you what's done it for my life. I've lived this. I pursued trying to find something for my life. I pursued things that never had a chance of satisfying me. But one day I found something that did. The Lord satisfied that hollow, empty place in my life. And you know what I still find? I find if I neglect that for spells, that I start getting competition. The competition of the world. The world starts saying, wouldn't this be fun? Well, it would take up about 2 hours of my time and make me feel something other than I'm feeling now. And it'll be a temptation when it's that way. And I use this illustration a lot. It helps me in my mind. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. There's a lot of types to all this. But the Lord delivered them out of that. And they had an expectation of God. God had made them something, given them something. By faith was the only way they could get it. They needed to believe in God and get this which He had promised to them. And so the analogy again is food. Do you know that the way they explained the land of Canaan was in food? It was full of milk and honey. I mean, that's talking about satisfaction. That's talking about substance. It's talking about being able to be took care of. It's talking about longings. It's full of milk and honey. And they carried pods of grapes between two people on a staff. They had pomegranates and figs. And it's talking about food. That's a land that we would want to live in because there's satisfaction there. And the children of Israel left out of the bondage, but they didn't have faith to get to the land of Canaan. But if you don't go to the land of Canaan, if you never get to the land of Canaan and never experience the milk and honey and the pomegranates and all of that, you're going to be left in the wilderness eating manna. Now that sounds, it's a great miracle, and it's wonderful the way God, and there's a lot of analogies in all that too. But the truth of it is that when you start comparing manna, because this is factual in the scripture, this is what they did, they started saying about the manna again. Now, if you've got an experience today, a manna experience, to where I got up this morning and I ate manna. And then I ate manna for lunch. Then I wanted to have a little something to eat between lunch and supper. So you know what I had? I had manna. Then supper was manna. And then I was so excited about breakfast the next morning so I could eat manna. And then manna for snacks and manna for this and manna for that. And this isn't a difference between the frosted kind and the not frosted kind. This isn't, you're not putting anything else on it. This isn't a thing, well, I'll put some chicken gravy over it. This is manna. Manna, manna, manna. And what the children of Israel did, they got the manna. I got manna to eat. And then they started saying, but Egypt had leeks and garlic and melons. And we had all of this over there. And all we got now is manna. Manna, manna. Even if it wasn't just manna. Manna sounded very bland in the scripture to me. It was a very plain description. And for the type of what it was very plain. It wasn't intended to be the spicy, stirring your flesh type stuff. But even if it was pizza, would you young people want to eat pizza every day, all day long for 40 years? Not hardly. But you know what we do in life if we're not careful? We get an experience of the Lord, and then we compare. Then the world comes in with the flesh and the show and the leeks and the garlic and the spices and everything like that. And we're sitting there comparing about, I went to church on Wednesday night. And the world's doing this. They're doing their concerts. Even Christian ones and all this. And all of a sudden there's a temptation to give me something. You know what the children of Israel should have compared Egypt with? If you're going to get it right. Not 40 years in the wilderness. They should have compared it with Canaan. Canaan wins every time. But when you don't have the experience of Canaan, the world wins every time. God has made a place in each and every one of us that longs to be satisfied. God is the only one that really satisfies it. Do you know Egypt didn't satisfy? Egypt was a facade. The spices and all, it wouldn't satisfy. That wasn't a satisfactory way. Yeah, you had some of this, but you know what went along with leeks and garlic? Shackles. Yeah, you had leeks and garlic to eat. You also had the taskmaster's whip on your back. You also had a bondage that you couldn't go where you wanted to go. You couldn't be free. In In Canaan, you had freedom. All of these things. And the Lord has made us, folks, to be satisfied by Him. And I find this to be true. I have found what I'm talking about in some of my hardest times. It isn't just because the Lord gives us this life of euphoria on this planet where nothing ever happens wrong. I don't even find it like that at all. I find most of my life is a trial of some kind or another. But it doesn't matter when this place is full. When I've got this place in me that belongs to God that He made to worship and love Him with, and when it's full of God, it doesn't make any difference what the circumstances around me are. Because that's satisfied now. I look and think, why would some, I see it often, it's a fad of our lands. I see it often where people are showing more and more of their flesh because they have it tattooed and they want to show the tattoos that's on there. It looks repulsive to me. I'm sorry to make such a judgment, but it looks repulsive to me that someone would do their body that way. And I can't help from saying, do they think that looks good? Or are they looking for something? Are they trying to fill up something that can't be filled up by a tattoo? It can't be filled up for a moment. Maybe you think people look at you or it's cool or I can stride along or I've got some feeling there. But you know, it doesn't fill up that inside that needs filled up. It belongs to Jesus and Jesus alone. And when you get that full, you know, these other things are non-issue. We make big deals out of little issues. I had somebody say to me recently, and I've had it said a lot, I don't know how you stand to wear those long sleeves. Well, I kind of think maybe I'm tougher than everybody else is then. I mean, it don't bother me at all. I mean, I want to stress this at all. It's this much sleeve. It doesn't matter to me. It isn't an issue. I don't care what the world thinks about me when I wear them. It's no issue to me mentally, emotionally, or physically. I get hot when it's 100 degrees anyway. I work in the sun anyway. I sweat till I have to change my shirt anyway. It doesn't matter to me that. And you know really why it don't matter? Because I got something full. These things, it makes such a big issue about, I just want to say, go get that place filled. Just go get the issues of life that we make such issues. I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can give this up. You really can't give that up? I mean, you can't give that up? I mean, it's so immaterial. It won't satisfy you if you keep it. What difference does it make? Well, I won't be able to give it up. Lord, help us. The Lord has the answer to our lives. He has what we is the only thing that is really going to satisfy us to this situation that I can live in a world that's full of activity and it's all going my way and I can handle it. And I can live in a place if the Lord would so choose for me that I become paraplegic, then I can still be satisfied. I believe that. Not because I experienced that, but because I've experienced having God in my life. And I've experienced when the Lord come into those places and flooded my soul. And there was something more. And prisons would palaces prove if the Lord was there. He can turn your prison into a palace. He can change your situation and you can be satisfied and not need everything the world's wanting to offer you. Because that's filled up. Now there are some places in the scriptures. One of them is in the fourth chapter of... Now I'm going to do Matthew 19 first. This scripture is used many, many times. I want to look at it again. Matthew 19 and 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to them, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into a life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness.
honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now I wonder. I think the young man was an honest seeker. I think he came in an honest way anyway. I think he did come honestly to ask the Lord these questions. I say that because of the way the Lord responded. He didn't respond to him like he did Pharisees and some of those other people that were come to mock him or to try to catch him in a trap or anything like that. He, in one scripture, said he loved him. So I know that the Lord was touched by this and he also gave him the answer, which makes me to know that the Lord was interested in him. But this young man said, after the Lord told him, do this. Do you know that there was something in this young man that wasn't full? There was something that was lacking because he said, I've done those things, Lord. And in other words, in my mind, he's saying, Lord, I know that I got something wrong. I'm not satisfied. I've done all these things and I'm not satisfied. I've done these religious things. Folks, I want to say this. Religious things is a part of a relationship to us. What we do religiously is in the pursuing of our love to God. But it won't satisfy you. You can be as religious as you want to, and it won't satisfy what was made in there that needs satisfied. That place in there is a place that if the Lord isn't filling it, it won't be satisfied. Your life won't be satisfied. He tried to satisfy his life with religious things, and yet it come up empty to him. He acknowledges it. And he also had the pursuit of the world's things. He was a man that had been faithful to, well, I mean, the way he said it, I'm faithful to that. He had also pursued the world until he had great possessions. You know, we can think sometimes that if I only, I'm going through this life, and if I had the right kind of a job, I believe that I would be satisfied. Do you know that's not true? If I had enough money, just recently within the last, I don't know, couple of years anyway, I don't, my mind, I'm getting old. But there was a Powerball jackpot. This is astounding. $1.5 billion. Can you even start to imagine $1.5 billion? Now, I think if I'm not mistaken, a billion is 1,000 millions. 1,500 millions. Now, we think, well, if I had $1 million, I'd have something. What if you had 1,500 of them? $1 million. I don't know. My mind runs out. I'm not very smart. But I'll say this. That isn't saying I have enough money to buy what I need. That's enough to say I can buy an island for myself somewhere. And I can buy jets and people and whatever. But $1.5 billion? I'm going to let you in on something. It won't fill this little place I'm talking about. Won't fill it. And you can, and if you had that, you would end up just as miserable or more miserable than you've ever been, because what you're going to realize is that all this money and all my power and everything that I can buy will not fill the need that I have in my life. It will not fill it. I can listen to this song. I can do that. I can go buy me a musical group. I can do whatever I want, but I can't satisfy this needs to be satisfied. What do I lack yet? So the Lord tells this young man what he lacks. I lack something. I know I lack something. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. You, young man, I created you to worship God. I created you to have God dwelling in your spirit inside you. And you don't have it. And it's hindered by your religion. It's hindered by your possessions. You're looking to fill that. Give that up. And come on. And you'll have treasures in heaven. And you can be satisfied. Totally satisfied. It was a decision that he had to make. I look at the world, folks, and it would do you well if you're interested in the in God's work. It would be good for you to remember this idea that the pursuit of mankind is to fill a void in him, no matter how evil or wicked it looks. It is the pursuit of a man trying to fulfill that thought in him. If we can get him to the place that he can have that opportunity to feel that, that's our duty. That's what we want to do. He needs that filled. I need it filled. You need it filled. As young people, you long to be satisfied. You young people want to be satisfied. You want to be happy. I'll tell you what's going to do it. It's going to be having the Lord fill that spot in your life. And all the others won't do it. People try to fill it with drugs and satisfy it. When they can't satisfy it, they drink away their troubles to try to get there. And they wake up with a hangover. And they got the same troubles. It's never filled. They try it with all kind of other things to try to fill that spot. And it's only one thing can fill it. And that's the Lord Jesus himself. I want to look at another scripture in the 4th chapter of John. John, the 4th chapter. Oh, let's see. I'll start with the first verse. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that thou sayest truly. Now, here was a woman. I don't know all the circumstances of this woman, but again, the Lord no doubt found an honest soul. He went by that well for a reason. And he met this woman there, and he dealt with this woman, and this one, he told her that I've got something that will satisfy you. He wasn't saying, I think sometimes we get it wrong in the confusion sometimes. We think there's a one-time shot for stuff. Well, there's just not. A one-time big blast, and that's the way it is for it. No, that's not what it is. It's not what he was talking about. I don't think he was talking about the fact. He was talking about this. You won't need anything but this. You won't have to long for anything else. Because it doesn't mean you don't have to keep a drink in this, but you'll have abundance of it to drink, and you won't want to drink anything else. This water that I will give to you. And the woman says, sir, give me the water. Give me the water. Who don't want to be satisfied? Lord, help me. I want to be satisfied with life. I want to have the good things of my life. You know what this woman, obviously, she tried to find satisfaction in her life like everybody does. And I think she thought that she could find satisfaction in human relationships. You know, a lot of people do. They think that if I can get you all to act, isn't that our struggle? You know, all the little human games we play. Oh, I know what you all know what I'm talking about, too. All these little human games that we play with one another, where we pout to show somebody that we're upset, and when we all the little things that we do. What are we doing that for? Because if I can manipulate the people around me to treat me the way I want to be treated, then I can be satisfied. If you guys really want me to be satisfied, you'll act the way that I need you to act. Then I can be satisfied. This woman had five husbands, and now she's with somebody. Obviously, she was living with somebody that wasn't her husband or something. Why? Because she was like everybody else. She had something empty down in there, and she was trying to fulfill it. She wanted something to satisfy her life. I'm going to tell you something. If you're looking for humans to satisfy that, it won't happen. And if you think there is a minister around enough that you can put all your eggs in that basket, you're mistaken. Because if you was around him long enough, he would do something that would go against what you think. And then you would be disappointed in him too, and you wouldn't be satisfied. There's nobody on the planet like that. And there's nobody that's going to fulfill that place that you need inside you. And a lot of troubles come because people are insecure about themselves. They're not confident in themselves. They're insecure for some reason or another. And they can't really perform. And they have a need inside them. You know what that need is? It's Jesus. It's the fullness of His Spirit in our lives. And then it doesn't matter. You know, a lot of people really care what other people think. And I've run into those people. They have a hard time living for the Lord when they really care what other people think about them. That's natural to be that way. But I'm going to say this. If you get this spot in there really full, this place that was created, you'll get that it doesn't matter. I can be satisfied when somebody says something negative about me. And I've proved that over and over because they do. People say stuff. I think I told it, maybe I didn't tell it here, I don't know, but there's a guy up home, he claimed that I was not a Christian because I killed some squirrels down there where he was at and where he hunted, and I killed the squirrels out, and I couldn't be a Christian. Well, now I'm being labeled for I ain't a Christian. He go around telling people, he ain't a Christian, that guy up there, he ain't a... Do you know what? So what? They said Jesus was Beelzebub. So what? So what? It doesn't change me. I can still be satisfied. I can be satisfied. I can still pray for him and say, Lord, help him. Help him. People are pursuing all kinds of things. There is a longing and a need. We got caught up, and maybe you have that problem. You can't give up worldly music. The music of this world is foul. It's nasty for the most part. I'm not saying that it all is, and I'm not saying that it all needs to be careful. But we need to be careful about it. And if it's promoting something that's ungodly and unrighteous, we need to get rid of it. I went to the library one day and done a study, and I took my Yaddo legal pad, and I went up there, and I Googled country music, and a thing come up, and I clicked on that, and it's country music, and it was the top hits over the last 50 years or something to that. Or maybe 75 years, and it was the top 10 hits on a list of them that long, and I just started writing them down. And as I wrote them down, I don't have to hear the lyrics, I don't have to assume it. The very title of the song told me that that's an ungodly thing. Some of it I would be too embarrassed to say in this mixed crowd, to be honest with you. That's how bad it was over those years. I don't have to wonder about that. But you know, there's people that feel trying to find what are they looking for? They're trying to feel something that needs to be filled. Getting through life a lot of times, dealing with the things of life. If I can drug myself, drink myself, if I can entertain myself, some way out of this miserable existence that I live in. It doesn't need to be a miserable existence, because the Lord satisfies. He's so satisfactory. I mean, he satisfies the longing of our heart. He feels that, changes us, helps us when we need help. This woman had 5 husbands. I think people try to find the fulfillment of their life in their children many times. I have seen on many, many occasions saints that lived very tight, godly lives and with much convictions lose those convictions when their children get old enough to not live them. Then they try to fulfill their life many times. Not only saints, the people of the world. I've seen them try to live their life over. I didn't get to do that. I'm going to make sure that and jump right in there and try to be teenager and all that. I'll look at that and say, so foolish. You got gray hair. You're old and you're trying to live that. Lord help. I'm going to make myself young by my clothes. I'm going to ride motorcycles. I've seen old people do it when they've never done it before. And I look at it and say, they're obviously not satisfied. They're not satisfied. Do you know that not being satisfied in the Lord is the cause for many habits and addictions? Well, sure it is. I say, I don't know what yours is, but could be anything. I'm not satisfied. I need to spend money. You all think I'm telling you. I got to do something. This brings me some sense of something. I've got to go do something. I've got to go spend some time. I know I don't need things. I just got to go buy them. Give me another sale. Give me another time. I got to go shopping. People do it because give me something to do. Because I'm not satisfied. Maybe that don't fit you. But if you're not satisfied, something's fitting you. Because we don't sit dormant. We're seeking and longing for satisfaction. There is a scripture over here in John, 1 John, or 1st chapter of John. I'll just start with the first of this. It's a good Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He made us. And he made us to have a fellowship with him. He made us to have him in us. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Well, then is every man lit? No, but every man has a candle. That's the problem. The candle's not lit. He's the light that lighteth every man. Within every man, woman, child, there is a candle that satisfies. It burns warm. It satisfies the longing of our hearts. But it's not lit. And people look to fulfill that's not lit. They look to do things. It's the reason why we live in such an age as we do. It's why, listen, I like athletics. I always had. I've always liked to run and jump, and I like to do things like that. But it's got to be a God to people. Fulfilling something that they're longing for. They got to have a sense of something, and they reach to get that which they're longing for. Look at this little crowd. You think one of the OU games is going to have a crowd like this? They had quit if they did. You're talking 50, 60, 70,000 people. They get there early to do it.
They'll go hours in advance to do it. They get primed up to do it. They do it. They do it. And they're reaching, trying to... And do you know, I almost guarantee you that there's never been one marriage saved by one of their games. I almost guarantee you that there's not been one family put back together because of it. Well, they might have went there together. As long as the other one wasn't an Oklahoma State fan, they'd probably get along okay. But listen, that doesn't satisfy. You know, it's for a moment. The world will do it for a moment. You can live in the la-la land of important things, and this is so important. You know, we got a culture that believes that's really important. I knew a young man that he grew up in my hometown, and he was quite a good athlete. And when he got out of high school, he went on and he played his freshman year in college. It wasn't a big college, but he played it, and he was a running back. And he broke some records as a running back. And then he didn't play anymore. He got back out of there. He went out of school and he went back and took on his, I think they had a family business, and he went back and was working there. And I remember it was a record service, and I remember a man looking and seeing him. I remember him pulling the record back in where he lived, and he come over there and he was kind of wrestling a big tire and putting it up there. And I remember some men looking at that and saying, "What a shame. I'd sure rather see him carrying that football than that tire." And I was standing there saying, "You won't eat too good on carrying that football. It's carrying that tire that's going to support him." So I had a different view, but you know, the world going to look at it. What a shame. This man missed the opportunity of fulfilling himself. Do you know how many athletes that make millions and millions of dollars and are broke at the end of their lives? Do you know how many of these people end up shot, killed, drugged? You know how many of these people's lives are a disaster? And we promote it for our young people to emulate that. Do you know what those people really need to fulfill their life? They need to find the Lord. And when you look at our potential, what the Lord has allowed us to hear, I thank God for the truth. I thank God that my children have had an opportunity to sit under the gospel, that they've had the opportunity to hear and know what's really meaningful in life, that they're not running for this and this and trying to fulfill that. You know, I'd be willing to say that the disastrous divorce rate that this country has is due to not being satisfied inside. Always needing something else to do it. You know, Prince Charming, he looks just right. Prince Charming comes along and he's always got his hair combed right. Prince Charming does. And he's always ironed and buttoned, and he looks just right. You know that, I'm going to warn you girls about something. If that guy exists, I ain't never seen him. Not one that's going to do any good by you. But you get your feathers ruffled sometimes. You get your clothes dirty sometimes. You come in sweaty sometimes. And it isn't always a smile on your face. Sometimes there's burdens. Brother Michael said it right today when he said his wife didn't know what she was going to come to that. What was it, Brother Michael, for better or for worse, and sickness and health? She didn't know about all that. That's right. You don't know all about that. But you know what it takes to really make that work? A couple of people that's got the inside right. That's what works. It's got the inside right. These things are not going to move it along. The fact of it is that there's nobody, I'm going to say this, but I believe it's true. There's nobody worth it until they got it right. You can't depend on them. Because just as soon as you think you can, I know men, listen young ladies, I tell you, I know men that didn't have to have this right inside them. And what they put in there instead of that was hunting. They wanted to hunt. They spent their money on rifles. They spent their money on four-wheelers. No, not on the children's shoes. On ammunition. On camo. On all that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with doing that if you got this right and you can put it in its perspective. But when they didn't have it right, They long for something. They long for the image of it, the thrill of the chase. They long for something to feel that gets us through life. And you'll be hurt by that. It's the same way on the other. When you sisters ain't going to have it right, you brothers, I'm going to tell you, you get a sister that wants to get it right in there. Because if not, she's going to be a case. I'm going to warn you. It's going to be a case trying to satisfy somebody that don't have it satisfied. It won't satisfy. You can keep pouring out the money to it. You can pour out the shopping trips to it or whatever the thing is. You can keep pouring it. And she's still going to be weeping on her pillow. Because it's not satisfied. And it will never, ever be satisfied by the things of this earth. She'll be saying to you, you don't make enough money. You need to get a better job. You need more. But Lord, help us. I look at the world and I see all that and I just long many times to be able to tell people, you get the Lord in there, you'll see it different. You get the Lord in there and you won't care about that. It won't make no difference to you now. You'll work along with it fine because you got it taken care of now. You don't need that. What's the scripture say? Do you know the idea of satisfaction? I'm going to read the definition. Having the desires fully gratified, made content, repose of mind, contentment with the present possessions and enjoyment. Satisfied means to be contented with whatever it is. Paul said, I think Paul was satisfied. He said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. There to be content with food and raiment. Oh, we need these things, sure. But godliness with contentment is great gain. To be satisfied with what God's providence has given to us in life. We heard a message in this meeting about jealousy. I'm going to tell you really where jealousy's at. It's when you're not content in this spot that was created in there to be contented with. When God isn't in there, then you can feel that when God is fully in here, you're not jealous about that. I'm going to tell you, I thank God for the prosperity of every one of you. I thank God when I see the saints prosper, when the people around me prosper. I say, thank God that you prosper them. Prosper them the more, Lord. I don't have to care about how much you get. I want you to get the abundance. And it doesn't bother me. You know why? Because I can't be added to. It's full. I'm filled up. I got the Lord. I got the Lord and I got the maker of it all. And I got the one that owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I got the one that's been so liberal to me, to give to me, to bless me. Why should I be envious of you? Lord, touch your heart. You'll just give me some of it. Lord, you'll spread it around. God's that way. Lord, but you know what? You won't feel that way if you're longing inside. You'll be saying, why does he get that? Why do they have that? Why can't I have some? Don't they know I'm not satisfied? I'm not satisfied. I need something in my life. If you're here today and you're not satisfied, I'm going to tell you, the Lord has satisfaction. I believe it with all my heart because I've experienced it. I've been in those kind of places where sickness to my body could not rattle the satisfaction I had in God. I remember when I was first saved and saints was talking about and teaching divine healing and trusting in the Lord. It was so fascinating to me and I believed in a great big mighty God that could do anything. And I just wanted to trust the Lord. Well, I'll just trust the Lord. I had one problem. I wasn't ever sick. And I didn't have a chance. And you know, when I got sick, it was like a year after I got saved, I got sick and I was so determined. I just, Lord, I am so ready to trust the Lord. I'm going to have me something like the saints get to testify about. I'm going to have me one of those too. And I was so determined. I'm so happy to get to try to trust the Lord here. I'm going to trust the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, it was one of the most glorious things I ever done. I was so sick. It's hard for me to articulate and get to you, unless you've experienced this, exactly what I'm talking about. But I understand what it meant for the old martyrs to be burning up and yet rejoicing. And you might say they didn't feel the pain, but that was not true with me.
I did feel the pain, but it didn't hurt. No, that ain't the right way to say it. Something overshadowed it. The only thing I can say is that the glory of God was so rich and real that it wasn't the same as hurting. There's something that you and I don't understand well in the spiritual world or something, because I felt the pain, but it didn't bother me. I was glad for it. I rejoiced so much. God blessed me so much that I know that when His presence is with you, there is no grief or sorrow or pain of affliction or harm that can come to your soul. And I experienced that. And I have told the Lord many times, not that I want to be sick, but if I could be in that place, anytime, Lord, you want to take me back to that place and pour out the grace and glory that you did then, I would love to go there again. It was wonderful. You know, we can live in a place of being satisfied. We can be satisfied. And so we get a phone call and the news ain't good. Does that disturb my satisfaction? No, I can still be satisfied. It isn't that a burden don't come or a concern don't come, but there's a satisfaction. And so they come out with a new thing. I don't know how much to say. Well, I'm going to say what's on my heart. A few years they come out with a movie, and there were so many people just had to go see that movie. Oh, they just had to see that meeting. The Passion of the Christ, just had to see it. It was a longing. I was so curious about what they just had to. You just had to do it. If you did, fine. I mean, but you have to, really? I didn't have to. I was completely satisfied. But I'm like, well, not to. Didn't need it. You say, well, this was about. I've got the story. I've got the story more than they'll ever put on the screen. I experienced that resurrection. I've experienced the passion of the Lord. I've experienced it in my life in a way that they can never portray. I don't know why to do it. Oh, you've got to hear this new song's out. No, I don't. Oh, you've got to experience the new ride. No, I don't. I really don't. Because I'm satisfied in the Lord. I am so thankful that I have this privilege. When I was first saved, the Lord, I would like to have some more. I'm going to be honest with you, it's not the same. The Lord does different things with us, but the Lord knew I needed this. But when I was first saved, I had a literal burning inside me. Literal. I would go and sit down in the service of the Lord, and when the singing would start, I felt a literal, not harmful, but a warm burning in my chest, right down in my book. I literally felt that. And the Lord gave that to me for a long time, that it satisfied. I was like Brother Salmon's always said, I'm satisfied with what I've got. I'm just not satisfied with how much of it I got. I'm satisfied with what I got, but I want more of what I got. I'm always wanting more and more of that. I don't have to be interrupted with the things of the world. I don't have to mix it. It's pure. Yes. It's right. I don't need anything of that to be satisfied. You know what? I'm not looking for another people. You all satisfy me. The people that live for God and love the Lord is my people. I'm not looking for another place. I'm not looking for a greater experience. I'm not looking for another seal. I'm not looking for it. I'm satisfied with what the Lord's done, with what He's doing in our life. I'm satisfied with Him, so satisfied with Him. You say, of all that the world can do and all this and that, religious people used to come around to my grandmother, and I still remember her pat answer to everybody that come around. Oh, she said, I'm saved, sanctified, and satisfied with it, with the Lord. I don't need anything else. It's worked for me. I want to encourage you today to have an experience in the Lord that's worked for you to the place that you can live this Christian life and walk this Christian walk with contentment. Yes. That you can say, whatever you bring, Lord,
into my life. Whatever you bring, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with the Lord. I've said this many times. I'm 53 years old, soon to be 54. And I can testify to you that if the Lord was to take me at any time, I could honestly say, Lord, it's been a good one. You've done right by me. And I don't want any other life. I've been challenged by many things in my life. I've been challenged to be faithful. I've been challenged with ministry. I've been challenged with people. But I've never gave a serious thought not to serving the Lord. Lord, by your grace, I'm satisfied. You pray for me.